You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we're going to be listening to Madama Davidson today. I caught up with her about the developments over the weekend, including the runoff crackdown, the caucus reshuffle, and the waka jumping. So over the weekend, the party announced a reshuffle of non-ministerial portfolio responsibilities. Why was the caucus reshuffle necessary? What wasn't working that called for it?
It's not so much about what wasn't working, as about, as co-leader, me wanting to make sure that I had a good mix of environmental, social and economic portfolios as co-leader, particularly as non-ministerial co-leader, to help with telling the story that all of those issues are absolutely and inherently connected. So we cannot clean up our rivers, lakes and climate without addressing the very social and economic systems that caused their degradation and pollution in the first place. So as co-leader, I'm going to maintain having a reach across those three areas because of their interconnection.
So was it mostly in order to give yourself a more overarching role?
Yes, absolutely. And to take an opportunity, I think, is more the focus instead of what wasn't working. It's more about taking the opportunity that as a non-minister co-leader, I have perhaps more capacity and ability to be able to maintain an independent political position for the Green Party, and that I can do that across portfolios, whereas if I was a minister, I wouldn't have as wide a speaking base on those portfolio issues as I'm able to. And so that's why it's particularly important for me as co-leader to have a broad hand across all the areas of environment, social and economy.
Just to clarify for our listeners, over the weekend within the Green Party, you took on the portfolios of water, children and economic development. What are your priorities for these areas and what are your biggest concerns?
For water, the Greens have long led on our campaign to make sure that New Zealanders have clean rivers and lakes and, you know, drinking water from taps and drinking water supplies that aren't going to make us sick. And so we definitely will keep pushing with our understanding is that those who pollute, and it is shown that intensive dairying is a part of that, need to be involved and participate in cleanup. And nothing's been decided in terms of the government pushing forward with cleaning up rivers and how that relates to water and farming. But there are many different levers that have to be used now. It's urgent that we all take responsibility to clean up waters and rivers, including the very industry that has played a big, massive part in the use of water and land pollution.
So, yeah, over the weekend, Environment Minister David Parker discussed government's plans to restrict the amount of nutrient runoff into the waterways. What does this actually entail?
It's a really good move. It's a really good step. And so that's what it entails exactly hasn't been decided. Those are the discussions. Those are the community discussions we are having right now.
But there must be some idea of David Parker to talk about them.
And you might need to talk to David Parker more about those. But however, it's a fair question. And reducing number of cows per square metre of land has to be part of the solution. And so and that's why the nutrient restriction has been put up as a way to work that through. Also, water allocation and how we distribute that in a way that is fair and in a way that will uphold good clean rivers and fair economy will be another part of the equation. And so you're right to ask what the actual solutions are going to be, and those are the very discussions that we're having right now.
So National Party leader Simon Bridges has called these plans an assault on the regions and reckless. But what are your thoughts on this, and how will it fit in with the farming and the regions?
It's a real pity that he has chosen to uphold the false dichotomy, you know. It's a real pity that he hasn't used his leadership to actually understand that we all benefit from clean rivers, clean water. At the very least, farmers will benefit from clean rivers and clean water. So it's a real shame that he is continuing with his false narrative. So what we need to do is be able to show a just transition, including for farming communities, and be able to show that there is a better way of farming that will actually have better economic outcomes as well. for farming communities and offer more stability. We've seen the price of milk go up and down. We've seen weather effects impact on farming communities. We need a better, stable way of farming and using land and water as it is, and it's a pity that Simon Bridges continues to peddle, pitting people and communities against each other when actually we all care about water.
So you've taken on the role as the portfolio of water within the Green Party, and you're also the spokesperson for rural communities. How will these roles fit together?
Yes, and the thing is they all fit together. So in my economic development portfolio, I'll have a particular focus on regional development and jobs nationwide. Regional development, and making sure I'm working on with Minister Shane Jones and his Regional Development Fund, supporting grassroots community-led initiatives for sustainable work and jobs, for a sustainable industry that make the most of what the region has to offer, both in the environment and in the people. And so my work to come up with, talk with, meet with and listen to regional communities and be able to uphold their green visions for their own local communities and Rohe is going to continue. We haven't always had a strong presence in the regions, and that's part of the sort of diversity growing work that I am prioritising.
The former Greens leader, Jeanette Fitzsimmons, has come out opposing the Electoral Integrity Amendment Bill, more commonly known as the Whacker Jumping Bill. The bill will mean MPs are prevented from switching parties during parliamentary term. What's your position on this?
Yeah, and Jeanette Fitzsimmons and Keith Locke, who both made submissions, absolutely represent many of the concerns that our caucus shares, and certainly that I share, and I thank and respect those previous highly respected Green Party members for their views. And so we are waiting to hear what comes back from the Select Committee, to hear what possible changes have been made to better protect democracy, upholding democracy, and then we will make decisions from there. But I think, you know, it's really important that we understand that the views being expressed publicly by former MPs and leaders very much uphold the concerns that we ourselves have with this piece of legislation.
Why have the Greens not opposed it to this point? Why has it gone through the first reading? Or why the wait for the Select Committee if there's already consensus?
Yep, and so that's the work that we'll be doing, the negotiation that we can have as a political party. We did enter into a good faith agreement with the New Zealand Labour Party and our confidence and supply, and in that agreement was an understanding that we would support their bottom lines with New Zealand First. And so, you know, that's the conversation that we are in. It does not at all deny that we have concerns with this piece of legislation, and those are the conversations that we'll keep having.
Do you feel like this undermines, you know, the Greens' voice on this, if the Greens are in consensus that this isn't something that they want and something that they're interested in? You know, does it not undermine the Green voice by letting it go this far?
Yeah, it certainly is a concern. It's certainly, you know, our political position, our public political position is no secret on this legislation. Our former leaders have all spoken strongly against it. This is a moment of being in an MMP arrangement in a coalition government, and these are the challenging decisions that we will face, all of us working together. And so as co-leader, I take on board that we've got some ongoing negotiations and challenges that we will face while we keep doing the work of delivering good change for New Zealanders as well.
Excellent. Is there anything else that you want to talk about this morning?
Thank you. I also wanted to note a priority in the space of children's issues. Of course, I am leading the work, the agreement that we will deliver in this term, a rent-to-own scheme of some sort that will allow those people who would have no chance of saving up for a deposit, they would have an opportunity to buy a house under a government-run rent-to-own type scheme. So I'm pushing through that. But housing and homelessness, adequate renters' rights, will be a big part of my priority through my housing portfolio, and of course are hugely related to the well-being of children as well.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.